I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Hey, welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast, where we talk about everything church and leadership and life. And man, we have the incredible none other than Joseph Pringle himself. Welcome.
Here I am.
How yes. amazing is this?
Great to Here be here.
This is a dream come true for me, interviewing Joe Pringle on a podcast.
Please.
Yeah, it's
been interviewed by the Sam Picken.
Oh, it's amazing. So Joe and Christine are just the greatest. Obviously, most people watching this would already know that. But they... So we're going to talk, we're going to dive into maybe some church planning stuff and, you know, what you think of how the church is going right now. We just came off the back of our conference.
Yeah. At incredible.
C3 Assembly.
Incredible. First conference is C3 Assembly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Amazing. I think it's a new day. It's such like, it can feel like kind of cheap. It's such an amazing conference. It's this and that. But we actually just came up just to attend.
Mm-hmm. You brought some team with you, which is awesome.
Yeah, brought some team up from Orange County with us, because last year I came and I was by myself, I believe, and just coming up. And you'd said, oh, well, if you're here, I want, you know, you to preach and whatever. And I walked away significantly impacted. I think it might have been like the first conference since we actually planted the church.
Yeah,
I think. And I was just significantly impacted, walked away. It was fresh oil was the theme last year, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I really wanted Christine, she was sick, couldn't make it last year, to experience it this year, along with the team, because this is, C3 Assembly is now the hub of C3 Global Culture. And I couldn't be more thrilled and excited to bring as many of us into it and experience that presence. Because I'm not lying, like, it's the reason why we're investing resources this year to bring people up. It's not just information. You can get information from everywhere. We could watch the conference online. It's impartation.
Mm.
And one of the most important things is being imparted in the right environment. So to me, this has not fallen short once again. And just the caliber of preachers and what they bring, but the spirit of this house is tangible, you know?
Yeah.
And Paul even talks about it, right? He says, pray over the fabric. Like he would pray over the fabric and send it.
Yeah.
Talk about the fragrance of worship. And I think that gets
That's awesome.
The fabric of who you are. So.
Yeah, it was so good. And it's amazing that you brought some team. What do you think is one thing that you would want them to take back to C3OC?
But here's what I love about C3. We are real people who are here to encounter a real God that really changes people. Mm-hmm. And that can be from the drug addict to the person who's set free, from the person who's been following Christ their whole life and still has room for growth.
Yeah.
Because I think we all have room to grow until we graduate to death.
Totally.
To heaven. So I think that it's the realness of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point in trying to fake how easy this walk of faith is? It's not easy.
Totally.
We need one another. We need real community. We need people who really bleed and show scars and say, oh yeah, there's this path we walk is a bloody one. But even at that, you can do it with really good people who you can laugh with, who you can enjoy life with. and love you that. Can be a little bit naughty with as well.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
In a holy way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you're seeing like conference highlight reels and what churches are doing all around the world on social media, everything looks kind of similar. Like, yeah. And you can't really tell what's what just through that.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, when you're there and you're experiencing it, like, and that realness in C3, you go to a C3 church and then you go to any other church, and then that's where the contrast really, once you're in the room,
yes,
makes all the difference.
100%. And I think just like, I mean, what Jesus said, you know my disciples by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a probably good measure to measure conferences. You will know your good conferences by their fruit.
Right.
Like what comes out of a conference.
Yeah, totally.
And that's why walking away last year from Fresh Oil was, I was so impacted.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not trying to sound proud or anything. I've been to a lot of conferences and you have to turn up to some things, but there are others that you will pilgrim towards. And this is one of those that I will continually be pilgriming towards because I'll walk away with, it's like an impartation.
Man, and the theme through it, like you led worship last night and it was insane. Like so good. You were like preaching a bit, but swinging in and out of, not songs, like phrases, but it was, you were moving through like a narrative arc as you were worship leading. And then you wouldn't preach too much, but just enough. And just the whole balance of it, like, was actually genius. And I mean, you're a church planner and you're a worship leader. You're ridiculously good looking. You smell nice. Like, I don't know what, you got a great family. What does this guy not have? Like, what the heck? It's a bit unfair.
I don't have it all together. That's why you're like Christ.
You're like proficient at jujitsu. Like, oh my goodness. No, but all jokes aside,
but really, I could strangle you right now.
You could.
I could break your arm. You
choke me out. I know. Anyway, so you, I mean, how did you learn that? Like leading in worship and doing, I mean, that was crazy.
I don't know if it's not so much as learned as it is caught over the years. And I think, I mean, even chatting with your worship team, and the hard thing is that the anointing, the oil, it only comes through crushing. And I think worship's roots are in pain and the fruit of it is praise. Mm-hmm. And the depths of where worship comes from is our ability to sing, O barren woman. That's not,
wow.
That's not a joyful moment to sing, recognizing I am barren in dream, barren in purpose, barren in, you know, multiplying, but yet I will still sing.
Wow. Yeah.
So the fruit of that is this faith and this dependency and this trust that grows in God. And I mean, I think we've all heard the worship leader who's like, you're not a preacher, so you're preaching too long. And then you've also got the complete opposite where there's not much revelation. There they say, hallelujah and praise God. And it's like, it just feels like I'm filling a gap.
Yeah. And that revelation comes through that pressing and that depth that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think so. Because like I said before, I want to be a real person who seeks a real God who really changes people. And I've experienced that. And I do come with a reverence. Like, I expect God to turn up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I 100%, but I'm always surprised when he does.
Yeah. So you speak and you lead, because you were doing this, you lead the whole room into, this is going to help worship leaders out there, you lead the whole room in a revelation, but you're not making it up. It's not fluff. It comes from something real in you, and you lead it into a phrase, and the faith in the room is more unified and more expectant because of that. Like, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Like, demonstrate it.
So, maybe not demonstrate it, but instead just speak to it, which is, worship leaders have to accept that they need to be prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
And prophetic here's the cool thing about the gift of prophecy. Paul says, if you desire it, then seek it.
Yeah.
So God is the giver of gifts. He can give it or not, but specifically he does talk about prophecy. Mm-hmm. We should all seek to prophesy.
Right.
I think every worship leader, if they are hindering or don't think of themselves as a prophet in those moments, are limiting what God is meant to do.
Wow.
And you as a prophet have to speak to an atmosphere, and you have to speak to a people to lift their eyes from whatever they're looking at. And that can, it's not necessarily like everyone's walking in depressed or anxious. They could have their eyes on all the blessings and comforts of their life without knowing how much they need God. And to me, that, like, I don't come up with a planned speech, but just as Paul writes, he says, be ready in and out of season. If you're a worship leader that doesn't study the Bible, if you don't pray, if you don't worship, because a lot of it has been like, if you can't lead people where you haven't been, it's also like, as a worship leader, you need to know the word because you're a prophet. Totally. If you're a prophet that does not know the word, then you will stray. And so being able to speak in those moments and to recall scriptures that speak to that atmosphere you're sensing. And so that's what I do. And I do it succinctly.
Yeah.
I don't do it cheaply.
No.
And I don't do
it. Oh, you don't mix words. Like you're very matter of fact as you're talking. You're not hesitating. You're not saying, I'm not sure. But that also charges faith.
Yeah.
But that's clearly grounded from, this is coming from deep in you.
You know what's, because it took a bit, and I think preaching helped form revelation into, you know, like sharp, to be sharp in that. But a revelation that helped was in Hebrews 10, was it 39 or towards the end of 10, it says, we are not of those who shrink back, but we are those who press forward. The revelation that hit me is of those, because chapter 11 is the hall of faith, right? We are not of those.
Right.
So I don't, it's not about my confidence that I can conjure up. I have the confidence of Moses and Abraham and David. Like, I am of those. I'm of that lineage now. Wow. I'm of that family.
Yeah.
So even if my family was not a bold one and it was a broken one, I have a new lineage here on earth that also has a heavenly line, which is, I am not of those. I'm of David who stood before Goliath. I'm of Moses who stood before a sea and led complaining people through a desert and went up on a mountain and sought God and found. I'm of that kind of people.
Wow.
And so as a worship leader, it's also that thing of like, I am of that. I don't have to be anyone else.
Yeah.
God has made me who I am, but that's my lineage. Not
how encouraging is that?
You know, I'm a what if this fails? Well, you know, then you're probably not going to do much.
Right.
If you're succumbing to that, you feel that and then you overcome. No, I'm of the same line that stood against grand armies with little, and God turned up and defeated them. Why would he not move in this atmosphere?
Wow.
And yeah.
Wow. What's your, I mean, this is going to be, this is so encouraging. What's your like Bible habit like? Like, you're talking about knowing scripture and.
Yeah. I generally have a reading plan.
Yeah.
I work off because it's systematic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I have what you would call forced study every week, because I prepare a message most weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm seeking God. And then I'm like sitting on the scripture. I'm not moving too fast.
Yeah.
And it can be frustrating because it can take a while.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting and I'm asking as many questions as I can about it. And I've done that prior to having to write sermons every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you lose curiosity, then you just start reading a book and you've just got statements,
right?
Like scriptures. And that's great, but man, when you get a personal revelation about something. And so I it's got to be daily, 100%.
Yeah.
And it's the same with prayer.
Do you find it hard to fit it in?
Yeah, 100%.
When's the best time for you?
Morning.
First thing.
First thing. Yeah. And a lot of people are like, oh, my mornings are so crazy. And I say, well, let's take a scripture like enlarge a place of your tent. First, mm-hmm. The first thing to enlarge is the place, not the tent. So I would say, okay, what time do you get up? I get up at 7. Okay, get up at 5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, enlarge the place of your tent. Mm-hmm. If you want your tent curtains to expand.
Totally.
And you want more capacity, then you got to expand the territory. So territory, time.
Yeah.
I'll get up earlier. And to me in that space, I don't know, I just, my child isn't up. My wife isn't up at that point. I have.
Is that what time you get up? 5?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I get up at 20 past 5.
At 20 past?
Yeah. Okay. So I get an extra 20 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know. And you know, I would encourage people, if you're like, oh my gosh, 5, I'm such a night owl, or, you know, this or that. I don't like those kinds of stereotypes.
Mm.
You know, I used to be a night owl,
mm-hmm.
But it's just, it wasn't healthy in the end. And yeah. I found that Jesus got up consistently, it says very early in the morning.
Yeah.
And walked off somewhere on his own.
Before the sun got up.
Before the sun got up. And I think it's better to pray in the morning for strength than it is for forgiveness in the evening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And totally. So I just gotta,
yeah,
you know, take that. And I find that when you pray, the word comes alive.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because, like, we've grown up, I mean, you especially, you would have witnessed your dad doing this. But me being in C3, I've witnessed, you know, like 1,000 photos of sunrises on your dad's social media that just encourages that.
Yeah.
And then it feels like in the broader church recently, those disciplines have become more taboo or apologetic, and so it's kind of watered down, and just it's become like pray when you can, and it's as if the church got forced, like we were being like too harsh or something. So the church got bullied a little bit, maybe through the pandemic and different things, to be like soften up on some of that stuff and don't put that pressure on people, especially when it comes to a prayer life or devotion.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's starting to shift again.
Yeah.
You practice a martial art, jiu-jitsu.
Right.
If you don't work at it, discipline.
Yeah.
Train, like, you know.
Well, I'm not sure I fully understand, but like when Paul says like pray unceasingly, so a lot of people are like, oh, I'm continually in prayer. Is that what you mean? And kind of like,
yeah, or just the church can't say, hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you, like you said, why don't you try getting up at 5 a.m.?
Oh,
as if we have to feel bad about saying that.
To me, that's an overgraced theology where it's, it goes back to salvation, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to work for your salvation. It's done. It's paid for. But you and I are saved for good works.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around that. It's not. And then comes the question, which is probably the one in play, which is, well, then I'm like working for my salvation, or I kind of like roll my eyes a little at that, because say in my story as an alcoholic and drug addict for years, God did not set me free from that.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me strength to be obedient and use the tools that were put in my hand.
Wow.
So if I go, well, I only believe Jesus is Redeemer and I don't submit to him as rabbi, like he's my teacher, which means I'm taught something and then I implement something.
I apply it, yeah.
Then I just feel like I'm going to have a lackluster life. I'm going to question what is my purpose, because I'm waiting for the my lotto ticket Holy Spirit,
right,
to unlock every door, where he's saying like, man, I'll empower you. I'll give you all the strength.
Right.
And if you take your steps, I'll establish them. But I feel like obedience is a low message right now. It's not a sexy message.
Mm.
Be obedient to God.
Totally.
Take the scriptures for real.
Yeah.
Like, put it into motion. I don't feel like it, you know, or I'm tired, or and I just think we need to buck up a little bit. Can I take a little line here?
Yeah.
So a church recently raised the biggest amount I've heard for a fundraising care. I think it was $38 million in one weekend.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, what spectacular. And then I read, bam, 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 you know, all these comments coming after it. 2 miles or 3 miles down the road from that church, a mosque, the Islamic Center, bought a block of land for $45 million cash. And there's not one eyebrow raised. Silence. And that's before construction.
Yeah.
And they're going to have, and it's going to be the biggest mosque in. So I, like, my side is like, if we're really going to be crying over these things, like, we have to toughen up.
Yeah.
And we have to have disciplines in our life that make us into like spiritual warriors. And so I don't want to be fat in my soul, in my spirit. I want a lean spirit that is trained and is ready for war. And that takes, like, I'm going to pray whether I feel like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if God doesn't show up, which is regular, like, I'll pray and I'm like, I didn't get the goosebumps, or didn't feel the fuzzies or whatever.
Right.
So I'm not going to pray tomorrow because I don't feel inspired to.
Yeah.
I don't need inspiration. I don't need my wife to agree with me, like, to, oh, it's so good that you're praying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the person to my left and right. No, it's my personal conviction that I'm committed to Christ.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I like it. It's maturity. It's, and I do believe that younger people are embracing this message more.
Yes.
They're embracing the message of suffering. They're embracing the message of work. They're embracing the message of obedience more and more. I do believe that this standard and responsibility, in the sense of what real New Testament Christianity is.
Yeah.
Is something that is kind of exciting.
Yeah. I think they're looking for real, right?
Yeah, real.
And real includes a little, like, suffering.
Yeah.
And it makes joy real, right?
Like, yeah.
When it comes around, it's like, oh, it's so good.
Totally. So you are contrasted because you planted a church in Orange County. So everything that we're talking about, like, we started off by talking about real versus fake. Now we're talking about, like, pushing a message or you know, encouraging a message that requires something of someone. So how do you do that in an environment like Orange County?
I think the temptation is always to pull it back.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
100%. I don't know if I'd be human if I wouldn't be, but my conscience is seared. Yeah. Like, my conviction or my conscience is being seared by the Holy Spirit. And so to me, I can't help but push into that. And
yes,
whatever that cost is, whether it's faster growth or, I mean, that would be the cost, right? Faster growth in many areas, better metrics or whatever.
So what would you typically do if you just wanted to grow fast in your Southern Californian environment?
Yeah, I'd apply I'm just trying not to sound too critical. I would
sound critical.
Okay. I would apply the bones and flesh of modern church planning, which is, there are particular structures that will work in particular environments. There have been data-driven church growth ways.
Yeah.
There have been marketing strategies. And I'm not saying these there shouldn't be areas that are employed. But then it comes down to messaging and discipleship. Discipleship has seemed to go towards, like, you know, the word of God is good for teaching, encouraging, rebuking, and correcting. Mm-hmm. And I feel like 50% is really grasped in that kind of culture.
Yeah.
Teach me, encourage me. But as soon as rebuking and correcting comes into play, it's like, oh, that's not discipleship. That's just mean.
Wow.
And
so people want you to agree with their decisions already,
affirm
them.
Affirmation on all fronts. Wow. And I think the issue is that we have a lot of, I'll say this very carefully, we have a lot of ask holes.
Ask holes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Who they just they ask a lot of questions and it all falls into a hole.
Wow.
It's like so to me, it's kind of like if I got to a point where it's like, hey, if I ask you a question, your answer is what I'm going to take. So I have very little counsel. Like I have three people that I would bounce those things off. I find that people have like their counsel is like 42 people.
Yeah.
And until I get the answer that I want, you know, then I disregard everything else.
Wow.
And
what's the problem with that?
What's the problem with that? Well, you just surround yourself with yes men. You're seeking the answer you want. And I think the beauty of the word of God is it never changes and it rubs. It's meant to have a friction in your life. You're meant to, like, I wrestle with the word of God today. Like, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to have to act like that. But that's what I need, because my humanity is broken. And I found the word of God molds me into a better image of myself, because I'm becoming obviously more like Christ. Mm-hmm. Can you do that perfect? No. But I can really throw my life at it. And so to me, that's the problem. You design a life where you are God and you're not good enough to be God. I'm not good enough to be God.
Yes.
God is good enough to be God.
So like if I was in Orange County and I heard my pastor talking like the way you are, I feel like I would really want to go to that church.
And you should come to our church, because you'll get discipled.
Can I please live in Orange County? Toronto's great for 4 months of the year.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Is your church growing well? Is it hard?
It's hard. And we've had our upswells, retractions and pushing forward. But I would sense that God has really pruned and purified a foundation that was necessary, not only in our church, but man, in me.
Yeah.
I have felt like a big ringing out in my own heart, and I've felt a curing of particular things.
Wow.
And a humbling of things within my life. That's
awesome. Are you wanting to give an example?
For sure. Let me give you an example. Like our preaching was going to be as easy as worship leading.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just flow as easy as songwriting would. And it's not. It's a totally different skill. And it required more of me, like more time, more energy.
Wow, I'm feeling so validated right now.
And then scared of not being enough, because I would have comparison in my soul, whether it was against what you say, other churches that were planning at the time. But not only that, but I'm Phil Pringle's son. And that
added pressure.
Oh, 100%. Like, he's my hero, along with so many other people. He's one of the greatest storytellers I know, and enigmatic and full of the Holy Spirit when he speaks and when he prays, and when, like, there is a Holy Spirit, there's a weight, there's a calling, there's an anointing. And so to be the son of that and have that weight of expectation, I suppose, and a disqualification within myself.
And what you're saying is this stuff has you felt pruned around it, and it's
100%.
Yeah.
100. And for some of them, I'd say there's just a strengthening, but a lot of it has been like a.
Can I just say though, like you preached last year, you're like, you came out like Wolverine, like, and it was amazing. Like you have your own unique style, and for you to just be you, it energized and makes you feel like anything's possible. Like as you're sitting there listening to that, and it's fueled with faith, but awesome. It's a different kind of faith than Pastor Phil has, than your dad has. It's similar, but I believe it's juiced up. Like it's your strain.
Oh, it's awesome. Of
it. And it's super powerful. So many people talked about it. And but yeah, as a preacher myself, yeah, have lived through going through comparison where I'd start to mimic certain preachers and sure. be like, try on their armor a little bit. And then realize that's not what God's asking me to do. He's asking me to be myself.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing to learn.
There's like the difference between influences and echoes, right? Yeah. Like
that's great.
Where you feel like I'm influenced, like as a musician, I can't help but be influenced by what I grew up
correct.
Hearing. Wow. And same with preaching, the voices you listen to, but then you become like it's like an echo of this person. You feel a little ripped off, like you ripped off yourself, you ripped off people, you ripped off what God gave you because you're using someone else's labor and it's just not you. It's like it's soul's armor.
Yeah.
And that's a insecurity, right? Or it's just I don't know.
And so why did you want to plant a church? Like you
I didn't.
And you couldn't shake it.
No, I did not pursue this purely for the sense of, you know, one of the things is that I grew up in a house of not only a church planner, but there's someone who was birthing a movement and seeing like the severe ups and downs, swings and roundabouts of all of that, the effects it has on family, you know, behind closed doors, the effects of, you know, how people look at you from the outside looking in. And it was not a desire of mine, you know, to get involved. And Pastor Jake, when me and Christine were attending what is now Cathedral, pulled us to the side at one point and just said, hey, we're going to plan a West Side location. And, you know, I'd said, oh, cool, you know, whatever you want. We had a cell group on that side, and there was like 40, 50 people turning up. It was the only one on the West Side.
Right.
So they were like, let's plan a location. Cool. And eventually they asked us to lead that charge. And I was like, okay, you know, cool. I'd had a little moment with God just before that ask, me and Christine, that brought a confirmation to it. So we said yes. But even at that point, I was like, oh, I'm not planning a church.
Yeah.
And it was throughout that period where something began, a seed was planted. And just like the parable goes, you know, who knows how it grows? The farmer doesn't know how it grows, but it does.
Yeah.
And it just grew and I wrestled with it.
Cool.
Because I didn't, to be honest, I didn't want it. It wasn't.
Yeah.
And then it grew into a want and it grew into a vision. And, you know.
Amazing.
We haven't seen the fullness of that vision, obviously. But at the same time, like all the confirmations and the nods from God, even in the most discouraging moments, where, you know, a few of the stories where it's just like, how could it be anything other than God just saying, affirming?
Yeah, you've seen some amazing miracles.
Yeah, so that's been that's my answer. I didn't pursue this.
Yeah.
But it felt like God pursued me and like I said, has dealt with me in you know, pretty strong ways. Yeah.
That's amazing. So what's one of the unique things about C3OC? Something that you're quite proud of?
I'm proud of well, I'm proud of like unshaking conviction. Like we will preach the word.
Yeah.
And we won't pull punches. And our goal is discipleship, not to create warm seats, you know, or to put butts in seats. It's to create an army for God's kingdom. And I just, you know, I love worship. And so pursuing something new, not for new's sake, but because I feel like God has poured a new revelation in me about what worship is for our house and how it can extend out towards the body and be a blessing. And so we have pursued that in prayer and then pursued that in worship, just not writing, not going away to write, but worshiping.
Yeah.
Putting melody to scripture and revelation.
Wow.
And repeating that. And like what you're saying, structuring worship as, it was like, I think it was 20, 25 minutes of just pulling things together.
Yeah.
And having a team like your team that can trust and run with that.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you do that on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
So how did,
that's 30 minutes. Just
yeah, go. Like I believe your church is like it's OC's best kept secret. And as soon as more people catch it, I mean, you preach in truth, you're passionate. The worship like you're describing is the future of worship, and it's so anointed, and you've got an amazing team, and it's not a fake community. It's a real community. Everything you stand for, all those values, it seems like the best kingdom antidote to California. It's exactly, you're placed right. It's God authorized and ordained. And it's only a matter of time, man. It's just
amen.
So exciting.
Yeah. And we just want to be honestly like faithful to what God gives us. I forgot who it was, whether it was Pastor Andreas or
Taylor,
preaching about Philip on the road with the eunuch. And it was just the one moment in the middle and being faithful with what's right in front of you. And I think that's been a consistent reminder to me as well, is don't get lost in the dream.
Cool.
Be faithful to what's today. And so we believe the same thing, but at the same time, like, you know, being faithful with what we have in our hands is most important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. So good. So awesome having you here. And we covered some good ground talking about worship and church planning and your testimony and different things. It's incredible. I know it's going to be very encouraging for people listening. Hey, thank you so much for, checking out this episode on the C3 Church Global Podcast. Make sure wherever you're listening or watching this, make sure you hit the subscribe. Hey, like get it. And there's tons of other amazing episodes that we've recorded recently. But Joe, it's a privilege to have you here in Toronto. It's a privilege to do this podcast with you, man.
Honored to be here. Thanks
so much.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, and our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.